Hello, everybody, and welcome to Declarations of War podcast. It is good to be back. We are here with some very amazing guests, as always. Ninja Turtle.
Hey, guys.
We've got Kingblade back with us.
Hey, hey.
And Noir Director and the Mitanni.com writer that specializes in Nullsec and all things awesome and Eve, Leosa Catalan.
Hello, everyone.
Is it Catalan or Catalan?
Catalan.
Dude, I don't know. It's one of the auto-generated names from Eve.
Oh, I see. Leosa Cadillac. I like it. As always, guys, we're still pushing the iTunes thing. Obviously, we've taken foot off the gas because we haven't been putting episodes out for the holiday breaks and work and all kinds of crazy stuff. But we still do want your iTunes reviews. If you could drop a little 5-star review on our podcast on iTunes, that would be awesome. Let them know that it's the place to go for Eve-related content. That would be great. Shout-outs. I want to give a shout-out to Dewa and Sinusoidal Field Theory with some epic drops that we did yesterday. That was lots of fun. It was over in like 5 minutes. I wish it could have gone on a bit longer, but, you know, kill 40 bill in 5 minutes, that feels pretty good. Shout out to the guys that regularly flew with us in Suddenly Spaceships, and a shout out to Sensational, whose dreads we killed in the hot drop. I think we may have killed all of his characters in dreads. At least 3 accounts worth, anyway.
Yeah, after a while it's hard to run into people that you don't know.
I felt so bad, too. And we knew obviously Sin's gonna be the FC in, like, whatever fleet he's in, so I'm pretty sure they primary him first. Poor guy.
I want to give a shout out to definitely Brave for all the fights, good fights they put up over the last few months. Generally, just being good sports about it. I think it was really good for their development on the PvP side of things. They seem to really have upped their game. Like, I hope it was as fun for them as it was for us.
King?
I want to give a shout out to Gita Spam.
In general?
Yeah.
Okay, Ghost.
No. The reason I'm giving it out is that I very rarely visit Gita now. It's not a place that I go. I usually buy my items, you know, elsewhere. Usually from Zero Zero Alliances and direct from direct from manufacturer. But I had to go to Gita to pick up my Bargass the other day, and yeah, I remember Gita and I remember my roots there. So I wanted to give a shout out to Gita Spam and all the trolls.
You were walking in the store.
Yeah, I was walking in the store.
My kids.
Oh, dude, that's exactly what I was about to get.
Leo?
I just like to give a shout out to all the people at Mitanni.com for just being my other job, a good place to actually do things on the internet.
Yeah, working at the Mitanni.com was a lot of fun. If I had more time, I would probably like go back to writing for them, but I barely have any time as it is.
My kid!
Our sponsor, Eve Time Code, evetimecode.com, where your business counts. You get 1 Plex for every $250 you spend, and they accept bitcoins. This is like the premier place to go get Plex. They're extremely active in the Eve community. They send representatives to like every possible player gathering you can imagine. And they really deserve your support. So go hit up evetimecode.com, buy some plexes, get a free one if you spend $250. And, those bitcoins, who knows where that's going to go. I would say use them while you can. Getting to some poll results, we asked our users, why are you so bad? And the listeners said they are so bad because they were suicide ganked as a child.
I know I was.
In a very long-term psychological impact.
Close second place was the refining nerf.
I thought that was interesting. I thought they would be more bad because of Falcon.
The ship or the dev?
Either.
Both.
The dev coming off unscathed in this poll.
Yeah, CCP Falcon will be relieved to know that none of our listeners are bad because of him, despite his best efforts. Alright guys, Eve news. Obviously there is tons, and I mean tons, to catch up on. We have been gone for about a month. Thanks to Christmas, I moved across the country. I had to get my new place set up. I'm in a new time zone now, so finding a new recording time that all the hosts could, actually make has been a little difficult, mostly because of me. West Coast being 3 hours off the East Coast doesn't sound like a huge deal, but when you're trying to like get around everyone's work schedule and then their fact that they need to go to sleep to wake up for work in the morning, there's like a very tiny window. But we think we have a solution there going forward, so hopefully we'll be back on a regular schedule with few to any interruptions going forward. One cool thing that happened was the Black Mark Awards. We do the Black Mark Awards every year since last year. It's sort of like our end of the year Oscars, MTV Awards type thing. I modeled it a bit after the CACAs from Keith and the Girl, which are also ongoing right now. If they may not have just ended, I don't know, I'm probably more behind than Kingblade. But yeah, we've got a couple categories: Pilot of the Year, FC of the Year, Recruit of the Year, Worst Recruit 2014, Most Shocking Moment 2014, Op of the Year, Best Declarations of War Guest 2014, Best Creation 2014, Community MVP 2014, and Dev of the Year. There was quite a bit of competition for all of these slots. Voting was open to NOAR members and recent NOAR Academy grads. And it usually takes place between Christmas, where the nominations end, and our anniversary on the 15th. And the winners are Pilot of the Year, a four-way tie somehow between Deliter, Gabriel Carad, Killa 542, and Enhaj Greb. I can't even.
Over 9,000!
It's gotta be a record, man. FC of the Year. I couldn't even believe this result. They voted me for FC of the Year. My heart is a flutter.
But Alec, you're terrible.
I know. I think because I like power FC'd the contract just in the first week of December, we had like some really bad derps, and so I FC'd like every op after that except for one. And I think that sort of earned me a lot of brownie points in this category. That's my theory of how I wound up winning. Recruit of the Year, you saw him speak at Eve Down Under. Arcantantix Carpe Noctem. This is a guy who got recruited, went through NOAR Academy, joined, and then got promoted to director all in the same year.
You actually managed to say his name correctly.
I know. Well, you know what it is? Every time my computer restarts and I open up the browser tabs, I've got his Eve Down Under presentation, like in the queue to watch. So I get to hear Bam Stroker go, "All right, man, this is Arcantantix Carpe Noctem." It's like, oh, that'll catch eventually.
I get to meet him at FanFest this year, I'm pumped.
Oh, do you? Awesome. He seems like a real nice guy. Looks a lot older than I had imagined, by the way. No, not like a slam at him, but his voice is like very young.
It is. It is.
Like late teens, early 20s young. Neither here nor there.
I would have put him in mid-20s, early 30s. I didn't think he was that young.
Okay, well, that's fair. Worst Recruit 2014, Watson Crick. This comes from a good place. Watson, by the way, everybody gets a prize for winning this, even Watson. So, you know, this is not to, like, slam the dude too hard, but it's just kind of a fun category. He's someone we kicked out for just, like, general derpiness and inability to follow fitting instructions, and then I think a couple weeks later, he was killed in one of the worst frigate fits imaginable. And it was like, oh, I guess he still hasn't learned anything a couple months down the line. And apparently enough people remembered this that he won that category. It was close, but he did edge it out. So congrats, Watson, I guess. definitely congrats on getting your NORA 1K share. That's like a free cruiser every month now.
Hey. Golden parachute? Gold doesn't sound right, but...
It's more like a pewter parachute. But we're working on it. It's up quite a bit. I mean, it used to just be like... Jeez, I don't know. Like a damage control. A damage control 2 a month. And now you can get like an entire cruiser hull. It's kind of cool. Most shocking moment? Quote, so funny story. End quote. This refers to an incident quite recently where we were all moving our super caps hither and thither, and we had to go through Mai. I jumped, after just reactivating my account. And unfortunately, I had neglected to recall that they put out a dev blog saying, hey, we changed all the fighter bays and that kind of thing. And if you've got too many fighters, it's going to like mess with your ship, so you should really take care of that now. My account was deactivated at the time, so I didn't really think about it. I logged in. Okay, whatever. I jumped. Figured, oh, clearly I'm able to jump, so everything must be fine. Landed my Sino, and wouldn't you know it, the session change apparently turned on all the restrictions that you would have thought for sure would happen when you're logging in, but no. So I could not, in fact, jump anywhere. So I'm sitting there, in my, next to a Sino, I can't warp, or excuse me, I can't jump. So I immediately hit cloak, and wouldn't you know it, on scan, there's a Myrmidon and a Hick. I believe it was an Onyx. And they're on the way. I think they land about 3 kilometers off me, and it pretty much gets worse from there. They're moving around. I'm, like, cloaked in this Nyx, trying to manually pilot myself such that I'm avoiding their, like, desperate sweeps to get at me. And then Merm has the drones going, their microwarp driving all over the place. One of the drones got within, I'm not shitting you, 50 meters of decloaking me. But while this is all going down, I hop up to another channel in TeamSpeak and I say, guys, so funny story, I'm on grid with my Nyx, and there is a Hick and a Myrmidon trying to decloak me. Please help. And so we flash-formed a fleet to go roam on down, running through high sec even with our -5 sec statuses. And we got in there and managed to get quite a few kills off that fight as well. We killed like the two of them and I think a third guy as well that came in and tried to assist. Maybe the third guy worked off, I forget. But it was a decent fight. And the Nyx survived.
I was very impressed how quickly we scrambled to fix the situation.
Man, so was I. I really, really thought I was dead. I thought there was no way, especially after the drones got so close. I thought, like, oh, there's no way they're going to get there in time. As soon as they get the tackle on me, they're going to pop a Sino, and like it's going to be Shadow Cartel or PL or something like that. Ah, my heart was pounding. But yeah, major props to Noir. Particularly, was it Dell that FC'd that fleet?
Believe yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, so props to Dell for saving my super capital investment. Speaking of saving super capitals, the op of the year was our Save Our Titan campaign down in the southern regions. It was Tenerifus, I believe. Yes. We had this Titan, Gabriel Carad's Titan, underbuild. Just so happened in like the last month of it being built that the alliance that was building it, mildly intoxicated, was being invaded by Russians and losing pretty badly. Basically all the M3 regions were getting rolled back at that time. And we're like, oh fuck, okay, well, I guess we have to figure this out. It gets to like the final week of production. And they start to invade the specific constellation that it's being built in. So Noir deploys down to Tenerifus to try to help these guys out. And the entire goal is just to stall. So we fight him tooth and nail at like every system. And we manage to somehow keep this like several thousand man Russian coalition at bay. Just to, I think our combined alliance total was like less than 300 or something like that. We just played time zone warfare. They would roll in and reinforce a bunch of stuff, and then we'd time it for US time zone. When it comes out, we'd rep it all back up. Eventually, they caught on to it and tried to alarm clock some stuff, but we would beat them at the alarm clock fight and kept going. Finally, they started targeting the system where it was being built in particular. And they disabled the Sino Jammer, they brought in a bunch of carriers to attack, and we tackled said carriers. I think we blew up the staging posts that they were in. They like threw down a staging post with 2 hours of Strawn or something. reinforced the staging posts with stealth bombers, killed it when it came out, tackled a carrier and I think an orca or something like that. They jumped in more carriers. We tackled those too with interdictors. That kept going for a while. And then I think they dropped another 20 carriers, all Chimeras. We tackled all of those too. This involved the super cap that nearly died in Mai. I brought it on grid briefly to help break the reps of the four carriers, and that's what triggered the launch of 20 carriers that came in.
The escalation?
Yes. They flew some dictors up to try to tackle my super carrier. Noir warped up to me and blew the dictors up. I got outside the bubbles and warped off, and now we had like 25 carriers tackled in bubbles. One thing led to another, and I think NC Dot came in. Like, all these alliances started coming in. Eventually, Goon Swarm showed up. It turned into be a major engagement that we won quite favorably. And the tower was untouched. And after that, they pretty much calmed down. I don't think they really made a serious effort to attack that pocket again for quite some time. And the Titan survived. We managed to get it back to HiSec, and we've been using it ever since. Our best decorations of war guests for 2014, Thaddeus Drake. People really love that episode because we were talking about one contract in detail from both sides. I heard a lot of requests for like, hey, can you do this more often? So it's really cool that Thaddeus won that award. He's a nice guy, too. Best creation 2014, I don't think there was any real competition here. Slack for Noir. Putting us on Slack was just like groundbreaking. It replaced Jabber immediately, and then I believe it replaced the forums essentially in like 3 months' time. Everyone loves Slack. There's such volume of conversation going on there, and it's so useful for organizing and getting pings out and promoting ops, all this kind of stuff. Community MVP 2014, Bam Stroker. Not awfully surprised at this. He's been very active. Attends a lot of community events. He runs Eve Down Under, or is one of the men that runs Eve Down Under. He's taken over for the head of community promotion and that sort of thing for EveBet. As such, he's sponsored lots of stuff at this point. He helped sponsor the New Eating Grand Prix, for instance. Sponsored some contests for other podcasts. He's just been great. So, major props to Bam. And finally, Dev of the Year, CCP Seagull. Now, this one was close. She wasn't initially nominated in the first round of nominations, but it felt like once her name got mentioned, she got a lot of support. Personally, my vote. I think the high-level direction that she's taking the game is a really positive one. I've made no secret of that, so it's good to see her get some recognition from the community. And there you have it. We will be back next year with those rewards again. Probably the same categories, maybe a few tweaks here and there. Try to find, yet again, some way to get the larger listening community for Declarations of War into the voting somehow. Going to have to figure out a technical solution for that. We'll see. In other EVE news, sleepers are apparently going Skynet. For those of you who have not been keeping track of the little developments and sort of things that CCP is not putting in patch notes, sleepers have become a lot more aggressive. There were these NPCs introduced in one of the last patches that sort of just floated around and scanned ships, and no one was really sure what they were for or were supposed to do. Now they're killing people.
Well, they'll shoot back. Right.
Oh, they won't actually aggress you?
I've not been flat-out aggressed by them, but I guess I haven't really been, like, hanging around them for any long periods of time. But it's not like they're, like, insta-locking you on the gate when you jump in or anything.
No, I think the word is they are, like, actively attacking some people. Certainly in wormholes, they're becoming more aggressive. There have been sleepers that have attacked towers and all kinds of other weird behavior that you don't normally see.
I like it.
Are you talking about that one thing on Reddit where Rive got them to, like, shoot at a tower for a while?
Yeah, but hasn't it happened a couple times?
I don't know. That's the only thing I've seen, and from what I understand, he, like, actively brought them to the tower. Like, he aggressed them, because they follow you like fighters. Like, once you aggress them, they will warp after you and shit. And so he yeah, he brought them to a tower, and they just kept coming to the tower, I think, is what the story was there. No, I haven't interacted much with them, but, like, I've gone through low sec and high sec and seen them, and, you know, they don't really do anything.
So don't poke the bear is the moral of the story here.
Yeah, if you're seeing these little floating things, beware, they can blow your ship up, even in high sec. So just, like, let them be. If they attack you, I guess attack them back, but I don't know. I'd recommend approaching with caution.
Beware.
But apparently this is all tied into some kind of, like, lore development that's going on.
And personally, I like it. I like the idea that the AI is starting to get aggressive and is starting to think. It's great. I think it's going to add some longevity to the game, and I think it's a much-needed addition.
Yeah, the AI has been I wouldn't say a drag exactly, but it's been very easy to predict for a very long time, and it hasn't really gotten switched up in a couple of years back when they added the essentially sleeper AI in the first place. Which was how many years ago? Four or five?
Five? Yeah, five.
So always good to see the NPCs get a bit smarter, keep up with the players.
It's a difficult line to walk when you have ships that are essentially destroyed when they're blown up, and then AI, you have to tune that so it's not so hard that people are just losing ships left and right.
Yeah, I suppose.
I don't know. I think that if you're flying around in an unfit ship, then it's on you. I'd like to see the AI, you know, launch attacks, you know, set up warp disruption fields on the middle of a, you know, in the middle of a transit, you know, in the middle of warping between gate to gate with a stop bubble or something like that in low sec or null sec, leave it exclusive to the NPCs, and you actually have to fight your way out. I think it would be great. I know there's some out there that'll flame me for it because they're like, you know, it's hard enough to lose a ship against a player, let alone now I've got to worry about NPCs. Meh.
Especially if they add them in low sec where it's already dangerous.
Oh, I'd love it. Make it even more dangerous.
Personally, I was advocating, like, when you have incursions in high sec, the Sancha actively attack people on the gate in high sec. I think there's, I mean, yeah, you've got to strike that balance, but I think when you're relating it to special events or really localized events, or like the sleepers, which are really rare occurrence, to like have them actually go out of their way to impact the player, I feel is a good thing. It helps drag people out of their little bubble into the world, you know what I mean? Although I get why it would be rage-inducing.
I guess it...
Especially if you're like AFKing a freighter. But if you're AFKing a freighter, it's your own fault.
It would help to cut down on the absolute ISK sink that is incursions, or ISK faucet, rather. If the actual Sancha rats attacked, like, orcas moving in and out of the incursion zone.
That would be so awesome.
But see, so as you start, like, when that incursion first drops, right, that's when you have the rats on the gate. And then as people start to grind down the... what is basically a contention timer for that system, those rats, like, withdraw off the gate. So they're not always there for the entire thing of the incursion. They're actually not there for very long at all. I mean,
but if when they were there, they were shooting people.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be kind of cool.
Okay. Other news. There's a not really new tactic, but it's being applied in a more aggressive way. Something called hyperdunking, which, as explained to me, is when you bump a freighter, or in this case a bowhead, continually bump it so that it can't leave, you get some people to come in, do a suicide gank, and then even if the suicide gank is not sufficient, they warp back to a nearby safe spot, get in a new ship after Concord blows up their old one, come back, and shoot the guy again. Rinse and repeat until it is dead. This is apparently... just fine, And I don't see why it wouldn't be either.
It's brilliant. The whole tactic is brilliant. I love it.
That's so slimy. Yeah. It's slimy, and I'm saying that.
Well, I agree with CCP's ruling. Like, the ships are getting destroyed by Concord just fine. You know, there's no real rules being broken.
Yeah, it's really just two things, right? There's the bumping aspect of it, which has already been ruled, as long as you're not doing... If you're doing it for a kill, basically, like, it's legit. And then the Concord aspect of it, which you're not evading Concord in any way, everything's working as intended, so...
Yeah, I think the one thing, though, is that you have to remember is that they're basically initiating the attack and then immediately warping off to an off-grid to pull Concord away so that Concord doesn't blow you up immediately when you initiate the attack against the freighter so you can get cycles off.
Working as intended.
Yep. No, I think it's fantastic. Again,
it's the same counterpoint to drawing Concord onto a grid so they can react quicker. I mean,
I can play devil's advocate. I can see how the HiSec people are complaining and how it's not. It's sort of defying the spirit of the law. I guess they don't think you should be able to go back repeatedly.
I think safe or not safe is sort of what applies right here.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Well, it's a little give and take, right? Because so you're going to lose the intercorp aggression mechanics that you have now. So a little give and take, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. But those are really two independent aspects of the game, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but I mean, it goes all straight to the safer, not safe kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, in principle, I guess there's really no difference versus getting 3 people to hyperdunk and getting 15 people just to do it in one go. In principle.
Or as in some kill mails, one person.
Yeah, I mean, and it doesn't sound like it's, like, quote-unquote, easy. Like, you can't IS box anymore to automate actions, and it takes a relative degree of, like, setup. I mean, you need a character that can bump, you need an Orca pilot that can spit out ships, you need a gank pilot, like, you're not just doing it with a trial account.
Yeah, for that reason alone, I think it's pretty legitimate, given how much prep you need to do.
Well, yeah, legitimate and just kind of like, not inconsequential, but it's not going to be like the summer of hyperdunking.
No.
Yeah, not everybody's willing to put in that much work, to be honest. In fact, I would say most people are not.
No, your hardcore... troll corps as well as you know, your suicide gank corporations, I think, have the logistics already in place to do it. And I think it'll be I think they'll continue to do it and take advantage of this ruling, and I'm sure that the HiSec crowd is not going to be too happy with CCP on the ruling.
Oh boy, you milky licking, finger spanking, ass licking jerk dicks are proud of yourself.
Cry me a river.
That's the one I was saving for the Mitanni versus Cancer, so I just blew my load early on that one.
Aw, I hope you have another one.
I'll find something.
Ghost talked about Cancer a lot, I'm sure you got something. But speaking of the Mitanni versus Cancer, the Mitanni took on Cancer and won, apparently.
Cancer's over.
Yeah. An ex-Goon Swarm member had left the game maybe 2 years ago, named Venus Vermilion. Apparently he had developed cancer fairly recently. Had started a crowdfunding page because, you know, he needed the money for treatment, and it hadn't been getting much attention. Somehow on Facebook, the Mitanni found out about it, noticed it, and decided to send out a jabber ping explaining the situation and getting all the goons to go help. Hours after that ping, they met their goal of $3,000. I mean, just blew right through it. Lazarus Telraven then spread the thing to Reddit, where it got even more. And according to themitanni.com, the total raised so far is $7,500. Pretty amazing.
So let this be a lesson to all the goon naysayers. They're not totally evil.
Oh, excuse me. It's almost $10,000 now. I just checked it. You know, best of luck to Venus's family, and I hope that he can stay strong and beat this thing. It sounds like he's staying really positive about it. So, you know, they're doing a lot with cancer treatments these days, so I think he's got a pretty good shot, to be honest with you.
Well, and I'd like to take a moment to say that if any of you guys out there, please, you know, if you're listening to the podcast, contribute. You know, cancer is not something that's easily beat, and it takes money, and if a member of the EVE community is in need, I think we should all get together, no matter what corp or alliance they're a member of and what your personal feelings are. At the end of the day, we're all people, and, you know, it's a good thing. It's a good cause to donate to.
Yep, and you can bet that link will be included in the show notes. All right, Leo, so we brought you on for a very particular purpose. As the writer for TheMatani.com, you're sort of plugged into the goings-on of the EVE world, and considering I've been away for not quite a month, but close, and Ninja Turtle and King are probably almost close to that, we're hoping that you could catch us and our audience up on what's been going on in LSEC.
All right, so there's two things that are more of continuations of previous months back in 2014. One of them is Hero versus PL and Catch, which has just been a raging firestorm for almost months now. I'm sure Turtle can elaborate more on that, but...
PL moved out like 3 weeks ago. We just left as well, so...
Apart from the Hero and PL duking out and Catch, it's been this new Russian coalition called GCO, Gemini Coalition. They've been taking out Sov in the east from Northern Associates, and they've actually carved a nice little homeland of space out near Scalding Pass, and I can't remember the rest of the regions, but I think largely it's due to the fact that N3 can't defend their space quite as well as they could before Phoebe with all the jump changes.
Yeah, we all speculated that would be the case, especially when they tried to go for an expansionist campaign in the Southwest, I think, at the time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think we all kind of were looking at each other like, yeah, it doesn't sound like a good idea.
Yeah,
we definitely were.
I think Northern Associates at one point held more Sov than any other entity in the game. So it was just a matter of time before people started chipping away at it.
Well, they're like the biggest alliance in the game too, or were.
Well, they were also like a rental alliance.
Well, yeah, there. that's the whole thing. Like, is you could post Phoebe like have empires that big, but that like 12,000 man rental alliance like has to legit be ready to bounce into action to defend it. Because you can't just do like a couple thousand people in a PvP core jumping around the place everywhere.
Be a full-time job.
Well, it's not possible. I mean,
yeah,
jump timers is just not possible.
Yeah, jump timers as well as distance traveled, you just can't put assets in places constantly.
Although there was some talk about them doing like jump clones with ship caches. I guess it's not working out for them.
Yeah, I think not a whole lot of the large N3 members have actually come to defend the space. It's mostly been the smaller ones that you've never heard of.
Is that a like a conscious decision on N3 side, or just the way things seem to be working out participation-wise?
I honestly don't know. I think it has something to do with the fallouts between N3 and NCDOT and the rest of the coalition. Because there seems to be some sort of, the honeymoon period is over, it seems, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. You do kind of get a generalized feeling that they're not, like, that whole coalition just isn't really as tight as it was. Like, they kind of had that Gurgoon's, like, overarching mandate in a way. Maybe mandate's not the best word, but, like, that kind of feeling to it, that specific unified goal. And I think that kind of wore off after a while. Just kind of turns more into, like, protecting yourselves in a way.
Especially now with the CFC being such a... It almost seems monolithic in terms of scope and ability.
Well, the one thing they do well is, like, the people that they really install into vulnerable places are willing to fight for those places.
They also made a conscious decision to contract the amount of space that they held after the Phoebe thing.
Yeah, they made some smart
Phoebe planned ahead.
Definitely. But, I mean, it goes back to, like, you don't have a big blob of people that aren't willing to fight for that space. Everybody's willing to be in the militia and just kind of pick up a weapon when you need to.
So the next thing that is of note in NullSec is the, well, what do they call it? It's the U.S. time zone goons. I think they called Freedom Squad.
Yeah.
They deployed down to Amencia. It's not the entire CFC, just Goon Swarm Federation, U.S. time zone. And they've actually made quite a lot of progress down there. Like at one point, DBRB did a bombing run that eliminated about 100 odd Ishtars off the field in one go.
Ooh.
Which, if anyone's ever done a bombing run, that's quite an achievement.
Did somebody say boom headshot?
Especially Ishtars, because they're usually quick enough to just avoid bombs when they want.
I'd be curious how many bombs... Well, I mean...
It was definitely multiple runs, not...
Oh, I gotcha.
But apart from the spectacular bombing run, they've also captured a system from, I believe it was Northern Associates. It's RTAC-Z-UOL. Not really of much significance as far as I know, but it kind of just proves how absentee landlord N3 is being right now in terms of actually protecting their space. And the last thing is, you actually used this term a few months ago, Alec. It's the Three Black Angel Coalition. It's Triumvirate, Black Legion, and Mortis Angels. They're up in Geminit now, harassing the Geminit Coalition, trying to take space there.
You mean they've given up their Eternal Crusade against Goonswarm?
Well, according to the Mitanni, they've won, or the Goons have won, and now Black Legion and company are running away with the tail between their legs. This is where the spin zone graphic goes in, but yeah.
Bet you Cancer's right there next to him.
Well, Black Lung, Black Legion, Cancer, Illuminati confirmed.
Thank you, Mitanni, for keeping us safe.
All hail the great leader. But yeah, that's essentially what's been going on in the past month in a nutshell for NullSec.
Alright, awesome. Well, I appreciate you catching us up. It sounds like not a tons of change except for the three Black Angel guys moving over. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, we definitely haven't had any sort of spectacular war going on, so relatively quiet.
I'll give it time. That NullSec Sov revamp is ever approaching. I think a lot of people are waiting to see what goes on with that before they make any large moves.
So just me, or does anyone else miss, like, the Great War of the North, those kind of big, you know, content-driving type things?
Oh, of course I miss it. But, you know, it's coming back quite soon. In the meantime, you know, take a breath while you can. Once that Sov revamp drops, it's going to be pretty much non-stop chaos, I think. You're going to see a lot of backstabbing, a lot of great wars. That's my prediction. Plus a lot of small skirmishes, I hope, fingers crossed.
One can only hope. I think a lot of it has to do with how they revamp Sov and what sort of mechanic they kind of end up going with.
Yeah, it's all going to be in the details. Faux show. That's why you guys should vote for Cy and Oviander for CSM. Get those details right. All right, moving on. Contract wrap-up. We have a contract to talk about. First, I want to talk about the New Eden Grand Prix. It was quite the event. We talked about it a little before. We haven't really had a chance to say how it exactly got executed. I'm really pleased with how it turned out. We have the replay on YouTube. The link will be in the show notes. There were some exciting moments. The Ring of Fire was a big hit.
Ring of Fire.
Yeah.
I was just going to say Ring of Fire left.
Ring of Fire, where people had to fly through a group of smart bombing battleships, timed such that they they like didn't get blown up, or they had to like go through the really, really tiny gap in the middle that we gave them that they could like fly through safely no matter what. Quite a few people did not make it past that particular obstacle. The other one I think that was particularly exciting was the what we called the zombies, where we had some what are they called? Crewers, the Sansha ships, patrolling a large bubble that our valiant contestants had to fly through. Of course, once they touched the bubble's edge, the crewers would attempt to close distance on them and kill them as soon as possible. This was also pretty tricky for our boys. A couple people got caught but managed to escape, which is pretty cool. But then one guy, he was going to make second, or he was going to make third.
The second place,
he was going to make second. He got caught and died, and then someone like used the opportunity to have the crewers like all in one spot killing him to fly through the bubble in another area and managed to escape like no problems. That was pretty fucking funny.
Well played on that guy's part.
So I thought that was a very Eve move. Surprisingly, we didn't have a lot of instances of the competitors trying to kill each other. They did aggress each other a little bit, but it mostly seemed to be like the timely disabling of a competitor's engines or something like that. They didn't really turn the guns on too much. I think it was actually smart, because, you know, if you're sitting there and fighting somebody, it's going to take a lot of time. And meanwhile, the rest of the racers are like getting way ahead of you. But I expected more people to butt heads, you know what I mean? Especially right out of the gate, but nobody did.
Yeah, I was definitely expecting a tussle right out of the gate.
Yeah, because we had them all leave from a pass at basically the same direction at the same time. I expected like a Hunger Games kind of like everybody tackles each other right out the gate and tries to like thin out the competition while they're all trying to get their bearings. But they all just ignored each other and headed right for the first obstacle, which was a couple of sniping battle cruisers trying to pick them off as they came in. And I think they pulled down like two racers, and then everybody else left no problem.
I was in one of those sniping battle cruisers. It wasn't, I don't think I hit anybody. It was totally the other guy that got the two. And even then, it was, let's just say railguns aren't the best at shooting frigates.
Well, somewhat intentional. It was the first obstacle. We wanted to like scale up the difficulty. But you guys did kill one or two of them, so you know it's not like it was completely toothless.
Well, there was a couple of kills, or a couple of attacks that came right out of the gate. They did go after each other.
It wasn't nearly as widespread as I thought it would be. It seemed like most of the attacks actually came at the cones, which is a series of warp disruption bubbles that players had to weave their way through. And it seemed like because people were sort of slowing down and had to manually pilot through most of that, that was when people were taking the opportunity of like sort of the traffic jam to turn their scrams and guns on each other. But all in all, I think only maybe one or two racers died from friendly fire. Again, most of them got picked off on the smart bombs or the zombies. Mostly the smart bombs.
I wonder how many of the racers were using the key bindings to manually pilot the ship.
I would love to know. I really would. This event was well-timed. I didn't even plan it that way, but just happened to come the patch after we got the manually piloting key bindings. I think it would have come in handy for some things, like the Ring of Fire especially, to be able to find control your way through that gap would have been huge. Anyway, I want to give some shout-outs to our victors. First place, Zavin Krendraven. Second place, Julius Rigel, who himself is a noted Frigg race organizer. And third place, Kromthar Lionkur, who bravely went through the Ring of Fire and like just narrowly escaped with his life. Good job, Rose. Definitely got to give credit to the people that helped organize Leoso. You did tons of work. It was amazing. Greb, Ark, Sovereign, Gabriel would not have been possible without their effort. And of course, sponsored by EveBet.
I definitely felt the pain of a wormhole logistics officer that day.
Yeah, in more ways than one. We had to pull an audible because someone reinforced the tower on the initial wormhole that we were going to be using. So we had to get a different one. But I think it all worked out. We only had to delay the race by, what, an hour and a half?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, sucked. But considering, probably not the worst thing. Okay. So we had, with Suddenly Spaceships, we had taken a tower takedown contract in Genesis. Easily excited, decided to interfere. And we arranged, by we I mostly mean Buddhist Princess, arranged to have Sinusoidal Field Theory on as backup. And, you know, we went in to go draw, easily excited out, I think the week after the first fight. We put a few bait carriers out there, sort of dangled their legs a little bit. Sure enough, pings went out for easily excited, their numbers blew a balloon. And they dropped. And as soon as they dropped, Sinofield Theory dropped. And they, easily excited, got wrecked to the tune of about 40 billion ISK. So major props to Sinofield Theory. Thanks for helping us out on that one. To Sensational, former NOR member, currently running and easily excited. I'm very sorry. But, yeah, had to die. He had the Iron Man skin for the Dreadnought, too. I think we all felt a little bad for having to kill it, because it was beautiful. It was all told over in maybe 5-10 minutes. It was a very quick fight. The amount of firepower that Sinofield Theory brought onto the field was just overwhelming. Titans, Supers, Dreads, you name it.
Yeah, I think the battle report made it to the front page of the EVE Reddit, which I think it might be a first in a long time for anything Noir's been involved in.
Mm-hmm. And we were there. We were about a little more than half of the Suddenly Spaceship fleet. Mostly support ships like Hicks and stuff like that. But we had some caps there as well, Dreads and Carriers. And overall, I think it went pretty well. It was mostly, in fact, entirely Sinofield Theory. Their firepower for the Alliance, their size, is just incredible. just amazing. Like, they're not that large. And to see them field that many Titans and Supers is pretty cool. This week in Mercs, two amazing announcements. Both of them sort of have a parting of the ways kind of theme to them. The first thing, it has to be mentioned, I believe we called it on this podcast a year ago. Gevlin and Marmite Collective have parted ways.
No.
Yes. The marriage is over.
So is the divorce bloody? Have they decided on how they're going to split up the kids?
It was extremely bloody, and as a matter of fact, they have. One of Marmite's best corps split off of Marmite, and now Goblin is financing them. So, yeah, Tora and Goblin are like at each other's throats now. This new corp is, you know, at its throats with Pursuit of Happiness and Marmite. It's just a big mess. And although they're made for each other, there's just no way that two people that are that high-strung and that paranoid and that, like, aggressive and argumentative could possibly last. So I kind of saw that eventually Goblin would turn on Marmite or the other way around.
Yeah, there
Plus,
was...
I mean, I had heard all the stuff that Goblin was shit-talking about Marmite for a long time, and I sent some of it to them, and, of course, they were like, Nar. I was like, oh, guys, I didn't, like, type this up. This is real stuff. Didn't listen.
Yeah, there was much laughter in the TMC Slack over that paste bin that leaked.
Yeah, so I'm not clear on who left who first. I think that the paste bin implies that it was Marmite that decided to cut Goblin. But obviously, from having followed it, I think Goblin's done a lot of stuff to precipitate that. I mean, even getting us involved in the first place, the whole reason he hired Noir is because he didn't have a high opinion of the results that Marmite was giving him, so we wanted to get some outside help. And that right there, you know, was kind of a red flag for them, I would think. And that attitude just sort of kept up. He had sent me some rather disparaging emails about Marmite Collective and their abilities. And Marmite had, I mean, they're good at what they do, which is camping Jita. Beyond that, they're just not very effective at stuff. And Goblin, being Goblin, kept wanting them to do, like, kill the entire Clusterfuck Coalition, or, you know, Red Reverse Blue are also CFC, apparently. Go kill them. Well, they're like a 3,000-man alliance in HiSec, so probably not. And yeah, so I sympathize with Toru Bushido a little bit. But I also thought he brought it on himself. His relationship with Goblin was extremely toxic. Toru himself has been very toxic for the entire mercenary community. Not quite in the way that Goblin has, but certainly the two of them working together have been just pains in the mercenary community's side, and at best a distraction. At best.
Yeah, I actually marked the date on my calendar when that paste bin comes out, saying Tor and I actually agreed on something for once. The day will be commemorated next year.
Little parade.
Exactly.
At the next Bob Barbecue.
The other big news is that the Sign of Field Theory drop on Easily Excited was kind of a going away party for Noir. We are leaving Suddenly Spaceships Alliance. And it was kind of nice to have that kind of send-off. I think that worked out quite well. But the issues we had with Suddenly Spaceships were ones that we had been working on resolving for like 2 months now. And it became extremely clear to leadership that they weren't going to be resolved. When we started checking around with our members about their level of satisfaction, there was like sort of two camps. One was like, yeah, they're pretty good guys, I like it here. And the other camp was, I actively avoid locking on so I don't have to play with them. And when I hear that second one as a CEO, it worries me tremendously. So I started looking around at other options. And just so happened that Suddenly Spaceships was planning a big move to become junior allies, I would say, of Sinister Field Theory in Placid. And if we're going to have to move somewhere, you know, I think it'd be better for us to move a place we want to go and start doing a thing that we want to do. So we are launching a new alliance. The details will be given out in the next show for sure. It will be a mercenary alliance for anyone that's wondering, but we will not be taking contracts right away. We'll probably take about a month to make sure that everything's on point in terms of our coordination with the new corps that we're working with, and you know, make sure all the IT stuff is together, everybody's on Slack, that kind of junk. So, very excited for the new project. I think most people are very excited for the new project. One or two have decided to stay with Suddenly, which will now be down more than half of its active pilots, which I'm sure they'll rebuild from in time, especially with the great content that Sino will provide for them. Excuse me, that Morris will provide for them. Sino is our ticker. but yeah, so that's the way it's going. Very excited for what's going to be coming next. I think most of my pilots are extremely excited for what's coming next. And I would like to build the alliance that Nord Mercenary Group probably should have been if we had more time to actually plan it out when it was being created. For those of you who have only listened to the podcast for the past couple of years, the origin of Nord Mercenary Group, the alliance, was literally, we need to do this contract that requires us to get around the 24-hour war deck limit for, the 48-hour war deck restriction for corps. How can we do this in 24 hours? Oh, an alliance. And Flora's like, okay, great. Here's a billion ISK. Make an alliance right now and declare war. And I was like, do I have time to think of a name? No, not really. It doesn't really matter. Just make it. I said, oh, okay. We made Nord Mercenary Group. It had like no planning or concept really or anything. It was just, we needed an alliance. We had one now. Let's figure out what we could do with it. So with this one, we're definitely going to be planning for the future and building the kind of alliance we always wanted to join. So major excitement there, and more news on the next show. Our sponsor, Yvette, bringing you the New Eden Grand Prix, as well as many contests for other podcasts. Eve-bet.com, New Eden's premier betting service. You can bet on real-life sports, including UFC, NFL, you know, Super Bowl. If you haven't bet on the Super Bowl, you probably should have bet on the Super Bowl. You can definitely still bet on any UFC events. What was that, King?
I said I've already bet on the Super Bowl using EveBet, as I do every year.
Do you want to say how much?
I have $10 billion on Seattle.
Ooh. I'm actually thinking the Pats are going to win, but for your sake, I hope I'm wrong.
It's only $10
billion. Son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. When the Alliance tournament comes around, you'll be able to bet on that. They also got casual games like blackjack, slot machines, that kind of stuff. And they're always adding new stuff that you can bet on. So go check them out. Eve-bet.com. Finally, the CSM corner. This is an interesting segment because the minutes were sort of released in a staggered fashion almost immediately after the summit. They came out in days, and they came out within a week of being done. Which I was like, wow, that's amazing. Especially from this CSM to have finally not just broken the record like they said, like they did with CCP Lilu's new, like, really efficient style at getting CCP to actually sign off on the things they need to sign off on. But, like, I don't think anybody imagined a quick turnaround like that, even in the best of circumstances.
I was certainly surprised.
So that being said, we haven't really had the opportunity to go through all of the minutes yet. However, we can at least talk about day one. So the things that stood out to me were how well the new roadmap and release cycle is working out. Obviously, these releases are much quicker than they used to be, coming every other month instead of every 6 months. That's a big change for CCP, especially because they've been doing the same thing the same way for 10 years. So to hear how that was being adjusted to and what it's meant for each of the teams in terms of their ability to work on the things they want to work on, I thought was pretty huge. It was also interesting to hear that, like, the CSM itself is still, like, having to adjust to keep up with this new development plan. Apparently it's a lot harder to get feedback and turn it around as quickly as it was before, because things are moving so much faster. I think that's a great problem to have, personally. And it seems like the CSM is quite keen on adjusting to it. For me, the other big thing was hearing that Corporation Alliance things are happening. Not the big revamp like we were hoping for, and had been a little talked about, but it sounds like they're going to do a Band-Aid patch, which, if nothing else, collapses and organizes and streamlines the existing system. And apparently the hope is that once things are a little less painful on the UI side of things, they'll be able to get a better understanding of what the actual role system itself needs worked on. Because maybe, I guess, it's a little hard to pull out which problems are related to the system's design in general, and which problems are related out to the fact that it's split between, like, 50 windows and all these drop-downs and really confusing terminology as to, like, what roles do what and that kind of thing. So I guess that's a fair point. Certainly, I would rather have that than nothing, and considering the court management interface hasn't been touched since I started playing, it's welcome. But I think that even if you cleaned up the UI, you'd still have to redesign a few fundamental aspects of it, personally.
Yeah, I believe CCP had to get somebody to actually catalog how the, like, put it succinctly how the court management UI and everything works so that they could actually tackle redesigning it.
Yeah, and when you have to do that, that's usually not a good sign.
Definitely not.
The other interesting piece that I gleaned out of this is that because of their change in marketing strategy and because of their change in development approach to focus on not just new players but things that work for both old and new players, referral marketing, like EVE players telling other people to come play the game, is up pretty steadily. and that retention, once people do start playing the game, they tend to stay, is also up. That is fantastic news. I feel like all too long, CCP has relied on the boom and bust model, where the new expansion would come out, they'd advertise the hell out of it, and get tons of people to come in, and then like only a tiny fraction of them would bother staying. And meanwhile, the rest of us get burned out in those intermediate months as well. Now I think you're seeing more sustained long-term growth, which is going to mean a healthier game base, I think, in terms of like players and bringing players in. I think probably the retention thing is just something that CCP absolutely needs to work on. They've put a lot of effort into doing, and it's nice to see that finally paying off at least a little bit.
I think a lot of that has to do with their new development cycle, how quickly they're able to address problems, and the fact that are admitting that there are pain points in these certain areas like POSs and SOV and that sort of thing, and that they have a plan to address them.
I mean, as simple as that sounds, that's actually quite a big change from before.
Yeah.
Before it used to be, like certainly CSM4, it was just after Dominion. And we had tons of not nice things to say about Dominion. And, you know, they were like, oh yeah, these are totally problems at the summit. And then after the summit, not a single thing was done. And, like, that was the end of the conversation. And that was repeated for CSM 4, 5, 6. Finally 7, they started to show some signs of change. And finally 8 and 9 are actually, like, taking that ball across the 1 yard line into the end zone kind of thing. CCP is finally like waking up to the fact that they need to confront some of the sins of the past in terms of the coding and game design. And I feel like they are, and they're doing it very successfully in my opinion. Plus they're not giving up on new stuff. We're getting new ships, we're getting some new mechanics. When they do redesign an old feature, it tends to be revolutionary enough that it's awesome. I have no complaints. I think it's been going great.
My one qualm with the minutes all the days so far is there's far too many cats and NDAs.
Yeah, like some of the biggest sections are NDA. And I mean, I guess I kind of expected some of it, but like nothing for team security, nothing for like SAV and structure. In day two, just, I don't know. Like, it's cool, we got the minutes out pretty quick, but like, there's really not a lot of meat information in here.
Yeah, that's always been a bit of my beef with CSM 8 into 9, I think it is. The extreme use of the NDA in the minutes. And I get that is sort of a consequence of how quickly they're coming out, but there have got to be better ways to address it than chili recipes. Like, maybe a super stripped-down bullet points thing of what was discussed. Just to give you some idea of what happened in there. I'm sure Allie will properly confront me on that suggestion when she gets back. But okay, we'll bring you day two of the minutes on the next show. We'll keep talking about it. As far as the elections, I know a lot of people are going to be curious about the elections and what we're doing for that. As far as I know, there's still no official candidate list. As soon as there is, we will get those candidates and try to do a show covering topics like we did the last time. Hoping, fingers crossed, that the timing of all this will work out. The CSM elections historically are not really a big priority for CCP in terms of sticking to schedules, except for, of course, the actual date that the voting happens. But in terms of like promoting it and getting the candidate lists out and all that kind of stuff, it tends to fall by the wayside. So we're somewhat waiting on CCP. Yes, we could always bring people in regardless of the official candidate list, but it feels like every year there's a couple big candidates that drop out at the last minute or don't have their passports together, etc. And I think it'd be a real disrespect to the process and to the candidates that do have everything, you know, ready to go and like cross the I's and dotted the T's, to give a spot to one of the people that was going to drop out or didn't actually follow through with the process or didn't in fact submit an application in the first place. and not someone that actually did all those things. So we're going to wait till the official candidate list comes out. And if that means we only get one thing in, or maybe two things in instead of three or four, then that's just going to have to be the way it is. And with that, guys, we're out of here. Go to declarationsofwar.com, participate in the show poll, leave a comment on the show. We're also a listener-supported podcast. So if you use our site, if you listen to the show, please put on a donation. We really appreciate it, especially recurring donations. Freaking awesome. They would really help out. You can always reach Noir via our public channel, CafeNoir.com, and plan to join us on our forums at NoirMerch.com. If your corp is looking for a nice mercenary alliance, we just happen to have openings. I'm really looking for, at this point, like one corp about 50 or larger with a lot of energy and good PvP background. If you listen to the show and your corp fits that bill, then you want to come talk to me about it. Drop me an email or convo me in game, Alexia Card. I'd be happy to speak with you about what's going on. And with that, guys, good hunting, listeners. I'll let you read your mirror to my heart. So close that you can feel peace as they move apart. I'll let you read your mirror to my mind. So close that we are empty thoughts are intertwined.
Through the